get him into the pulpit. I want you to be in prayer for Sister Shirley Corey. She's in bed sick today. We've got a flu bug making its rounds through the body. And they're all going to live and not die. But in the midst of that, you kind of wonder. But we want you to pray for her. I want to tell you in her absence today what a marvelous job she's doing with Barnabas and with the things that she's doing to minister to this body. Just last week, Sister Wallace's brother passed away, and the family came in from all over the country, and it was the joy of this church to be able to minister to them. I walked over to that civic hall, that fellowship hall in Woodlawn, and they had that place just fired up and smelling great and laid food out for that whole family. And I want to thank every one of you that laid your hand to that project and cooked or transported or served or decorated. Or I want to commend all of our teams. You're doing an excellent job right now. We will have continued meetings to sharpen ourselves and to get better positioned to serve not only the body but the city. And we want to serve in the kingdom of God. But I appreciate every one of you that are available. And this morning, in her absence, I want to celebrate Shirley Corey. She is such a wonderful blessing and a gift to this church. The way that she ministers. Praise God. Praise God. Last year at ARC, we took water and we poured it over the hands of our brother Cornwell. And in doing so, we just wanted to reenact those situations from the scripture with Joshua and Moses and Elijah and Elisha, and to pay homage to the ministry that God has given us in the life of Brother Morrell Cornwell. And truly, he has been an apostle to this church and now to this district. But this is just a small fragment or slice of what he's doing, because he's ministering all over the country. And in that great church in Wichita, they are extending themselves far beyond the bounds of their physical church facility. And they truly have become a fulfillment of the word of God to Abraham. They are blessed and they are a blessing. They are blessed to be a blessing. I want him to come today, and we're excited to have him on the weekend. And we won't tell anybody that he came on a Sunday. But we're so excited to have him. We love you, Brother Cornwell. We want you to take your liberty and talk to us from the Word of God.
Thank you, Brother Sutton. Now, if you tell anybody that I was at New Life on Sunday morning, first of all, I'm going to say you lied. And secondly, if they find out the truth, I'm history. I think I have missed two Sundays from my pulpit in the last 3 years, and both of them have been at New Life. And I get about a dozen invitations a month to come and preach on Sunday, and I just do not leave my pulpit on Sunday morning. Not that we don't have great preachers in Wichita, but I don't want anybody to find that out. Amen. No, we have great men of God in Wichita, and they do a great job in my absence, but you just don't like to go away from home on that special Sunday. But Brother and Sister Sutton are very special people to me. And you do not realize how dynamic a man of God can be in your life until you don't have one. Amen. And so I just appreciate Brother and Sister Sutton. It was such a nice gesture. The gift that you gave Sister Sutton, I suppose that's for her birthday. Nobody mentioned any ages. So, amen. I do want to preach this morning. I want to do more than preach. I want to minister. Now, I realize you just had Jonathan Suber, and I can't match his ADD. He is hyper city. But I do believe that the Lord will use different ministries at different times, and I really believe I'm in the will of God. Now, the curse of Pentecost is the internet. I hadn't even walked in a building until your sound people said, "Heard you preach Wednesday night." And I said, "You did?" I said, "Yep, I had the internet and had you on the screen up here." I said, "What did I preach?" "I don't remember." So the blessing of Pentecost is we got a lot of dumb folks. Amen. I want you to open your Bible to the book of 2 Corinthians, chapter 1, John, chapter 10, and Philippians, chapter 4. Now, I went to the pulpit this past Wednesday night, and the last thing I heard from my wife is she said, "Please don't preach the whole Bible tonight." And I don't know where she got that from, but so I preached about an hour and 90 minutes, and she said, "You did it again. Preach the whole Bible." So I'm going to preach the whole Bible this morning. Amen. 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse number 18, 18, 19, and 20. "But as God is true, our word toward you was not yea and nay. For the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who was preached among you by us, even by me and Silvanus and Timotheus, was not yea and nay, but in him was yea. For all the promises of God in him are yea and in him, amen, unto the glory of God by us." Paraphrasing and offering somewhat of a interpretation, all the promises of God are never no, but are yes, yes, and yes. You can be seated. Since I'm going to be back tonight, the Lord willing, I'm probably not going to finish this message. I'm probably going to bring the second part to you tonight. God and the devil are not teamed up to perfect you. I hear people say all the time, "Well, God allowed the devil to do that because he knew I needed that in my life." Can I tell you, first of all, that God does not need the devil to perfect you. You say, "Well, what about Job? God allowed Satan." God blessed Job in the beginning. Satan disturbed Job in the middle, and God re-blessed Job in the end. Jesus said in John chapter 10 and verses 10, "I am come that ye might have life and have life more abundantly." Hello? Our God said that he could do exceedingly abundantly above all that we're able to ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Jesus works in us, and he can do all things. The devil comes, the enemy comes, but for to kill, to maim and destroy. If there's something happening in your life that has a tinge of destruction on it or a tinge of death in it, you can rest assured it is not God. And when you recognize that it is not God, then you can amply pray against it, praise God. But as long as you think that God is involved in it, you'll never pray against it or stand against it. Amen. It's not God's will that you be sick. It is not God's will that you be afflicted. It is not God's will that you be bound. It is not God's will that you be immobile, because God is not in bondage, and God is not in destruction, and God is not in death. Hallelujah. And God does not use the devil in any shape, form, or fare to perfect you. Praise God. Can I have it? Amen. God doesn't need the devil for anything. Jesus said, he chastises those whom he loves. Praise God. He doesn't use the devil to chastise you. The devil has no part with me, and the devil has no part with the kingdom of God. Oh, hallelujah. Somebody said amen. So Jesus said, I'm come that you might have life and have life more abundantly. Can I have a witness, somebody? Now, in Philippians chapter 4, and I'm not going to read all the verses in chapter 1, so I just want to hurry here and go to verse number 19. Praise God. But my God shall supply. There is so much anointing in this pulpit. My God shall supply. Testing 1, 2. My God shall supply all of your. Okay, you didn't say that right. My God shall supply all of your singular. My God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. When my God becomes your God and your God becomes my God, he shall supply all of your need. Can I have it? Amen. You can be seated. Praise God. It's very important to understand that there are some things that you and I cannot do for ourselves. It's going to take a higher power to become involved in your life. Amen. I was eating lunch Monday or Tuesday. I don't remember now. Maybe Tuesday with a couple of men, and one of these men was taking a course in heating and air conditioning and electricity at one of the technical colleges. And he had made pretty fair grades, I suppose. And he was a little bit arrogant and a little bit cocky. And he said, I'm going to go take the master's test. I said, you're going to become a master electrician? Oh, he said, I'm supposed to take the master's test here in a few days. I said, how long have you been an apprentice? And he said, well, I'm not an apprentice. I said, well, how long have you been a journeyman? He said, well, I'm not a journeyman. I said, you're going to go from school to taking the master's test in just one giant leap, right? He said, yeah. He said, I believe I can pass it. He said, I think I'm going to do very well on it. And so I just ate my lunch in silence and walked away thinking, this guy is an idiot. I knew I had some retarded people in my church, but I didn't know they were that retarded. Because I've got journeyman electricians that have gone through the apprentice program and have been a journeyman for 10 years, and they have taken the master's test 3 times, and they still haven't passed it. And this 20-year-old kid is going to take the master's test and conquer the master's test in just one try and never have been an apprentice or a journeyman. You see, we learn from those who have already done it, praise God. We all go through an apprentice program, whether it's in the union or in life, praise God. We have to learn from somebody that is more intelligent than we are. And mark the man that already knows everything, because he's dumb about everything. Can I have an amen? That's why we have college professors. That's why we have teachers. That's why we have doctors. And that's why we have lawyers. Because nobody will go in the sick room and doctor their own self. Because the man that doctors his own self has a fool for a patient. And no man goes in the courtroom by himself because he does not know the intricacies of the law and will be defeated most every time. We have to have a higher authority and a higher power. Can I have an amen? This business of I got to pull myself up by my bootstraps is archaic and not real, because we cannot pick ourselves up by our bootstraps. As long as we believe that garbage, that we can pick ourselves up by our own bootstraps, we will never have the compassion for other men that we really need, because men cannot do everything on their own. There must be a higher power somewhere involved in our lives. Amen. The smartest that you'll ever be is when you can recognize that you have to have a higher authority, a higher source. Can I have it? Amen. You see, God loves our independence, but he also loves our dependence. Praise God. I can do all things. That's great. That's independence. But we're dependent when he says, through Christ Jesus who strengthens me. Praise God. You can do all things as long as there are a higher authority and a higher source behind what you're trying to accomplish. I do not want to live in a secularistic, humanistic society that's void of God and all decency, praise God, because I understand I need God and you need God. Hallelujah. And I might add this little phrase here, Alabama needs God. Kansas needs God. And can I tell you this, and can I share this with you? We have got God on our side. You're not hearing me. I said we've got God on our side. We've got Jesus Christ on our side. He is on your side. Ladies and gentlemen, he's on your side. Can I have an amen? We need to learn to recognize when the enemy is against us and when God is on our side. There's too many of us have this idea that God backs away and lets Satan at us to perfect us. That is a lie born from the pit. God has full control and full ability to perfect us without the use of Satan. But when Satan puts a monkey wrench in the spokes, praise God, we need to recognize that Satan has come against us. And stand up and say, wait a minute. God does not want me to have destruction in my life. God is not willing to hurt me. God's not going to wreck my family. God's not going to wreck my finance. God is not going to do these things against me. And when we recognize Satan, we can stand up and resist the devil. And the Bible says he will flee from us. Can I have an amen? Now, there are five areas that I want to talk about just for a few moments that we have to have a higher source of authority and a higher source of power. Now, when I say a higher source and a higher authority, I'm talking about God. In Acts chapter 12, turn there briefly with me, just briefly to Acts chapter 12. Let me share something that all of us have gone through. Now, about that time, Herod the king stretched forth his hand to vex certain of the church. Satan's hand intended to vex the household of God. Does Satan still reach out his hand to vex the household of God? Yes, he does. Amen. And if we allow him and give him a toehold, he won't just take a toehold, he'll take the whole door. Thank God for men of God and women of God and children of God that recognize when the devil takes a toehold and they are willing to stand and resist the devil at every turn. Pastor, a pastor by the name of O.W. Williams, many of you do not know him, Pastor O.W. Williams is a very elderly aged gentleman now, but during his heyday, he was a great man of faith and healing. And he was not like a lot of these fake healers, but he had the gift of healing. And when he came to your church and ministered, miracles and signs and wonders just followed him. And he was in our pulpit one night, and he was ministering, and he made a statement about one time he cast the devil out of somebody. And he was expecting this great, big, huge demon to come barreling out of this person. And he said a little black spot about the size of a half a dollar came out of her mouth and disappeared into the atmosphere. And he suddenly realized that the woman had been delivered and had been healed. And he said he stopped. He stood back. And he thought about what this woman was going through and what she was suffering and the situations in her life. And she was instantly healed. And he got to thinking about that demon coming out of her about the size of a half a dollar, about that big around, and just drifting out into the atmosphere. And he said it changed the whole perspective of my life. He said, for years I had built up the devil as this huge being that was inconquerable and insurmountable. But he said, when I realized that the devil wasn't no bigger than a half a dollar, I started treating him like what he was worth, less than four bits. And he said, it changed my entire faith structure to understand that greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. The church has power over Satan. The church has power over demonic spirits. So when the enemy reached out to vex certain of the church, praise God, He killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. And because it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to take Simon Peter also, and were the days of unleavened bread. And when he had apprehended him, he put him in prison and delivered him to four quaternions of soldiers to keep him, intending after Easter to bring him forth to the people. Peter, therefore, was kept in prison, praise God. You see, there are times when we get in immobile situations. How many here has ever felt like that you were so bound up that you couldn't move to the left, to the right, forward, backwards, up, or down? I call that an immobile situation. You don't know what to do. We all face these kinds of situations in our... My God, the Holy Ghost is in this house. Praise God. What is amazing is that when they put Peter in jail, something else happened. Praise God. Let me see if I can find a note here that I wanted to read to you. There are three things that happened to Simon Peter. First of all, the devil killed his pastor. We always, when we get in a situation that we become immobile, the first person we call is our pastor. I love pastors. I am a pastor. You have to be a little bit retarded to be a pastor, but, you know, the more retarded you are, the better pastor you are. Amen. And then the second thing that happened to him, public opinion turned against him. In other words, there was nobody he could turn to. The Jews, because the killing of James pleased the Jews, they reached out because public opinion was against them. They took Simon Peter also. Can I have an amen? And number three, they forced him into an impossible situation with no way out and nobody to turn to. Hallelujah. What an immobile place to be in. Can I have a witness, somebody? But that would be fine, except verse 5, the second part of verse 5 tells us something that's important. He was kept in prison, colon. But prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. Now let me jump ahead of myself so I can drop back. Praise God. We know that when Peter gets out of jail, he's going to go to the house where the prayer meeting is there, and they're not even going to believe he's out of jail. So they're praying for something that they don't even believe. And we can fault the church all we want to. But the reason we pray is because we are immobile. And the reason we pray is we're faced with the enemy. And the reason we pray, we can't do anything about it ourselves. And God doesn't always let us know when he's moved. He didn't come to prayer meeting and say, I've already let him out of jail. And they were praying because of unbelief, but the prayer of unbelief turned into a prayer of faith. Can I have it? Amen. When you pray and you don't feel anything, you know what you do? You keep on praying. When you pray against a brick wall, you might be praying against a prison house. You might be praying against chains. You might be praying against an immobile situation. But let me tell you something. When you get immobile and you can't do anything else, turn to God and pray, because he can do all things. I'm preaching to somebody here. Somebody's in a situation that you can't do anything about. But let me tell you something. Pray without ceasing unto God, because God can remove the impossibility. You say, Pastor, I'm not in a prison. I'm not in jail, blah, blah, blah. No, but all of us at one time or another have been immobile. Prayer was made without ceasing unto God for him. Can I have it? Amen. And verse 7 says, and behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him, and a light shined in the prison, and he smote Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, arise up quickly. And his chains fell off from his hands. When the devil says, I've got you where I want you. I've surrounded you by every demon imp that hell can belch out. Let me tell you, not only will God come to your rescue, God didn't even see need to come to his rescue. He sent the weakest angel he had, touched Peter on the side. He stood up, his chains fell off, the doors of the prison opened, and the outer door opened, and he walked out scot-free. Why? Because God can open the prison doors of your faith and allow you to see things that nobody else can see. You say, well, what's this got to do with us? Okay, you're in Birmingham, Alabama, the greatest city in Alabama. The cultural center of Alabama. The medical center of Alabama. The most beautiful city in the world. One of the greatest cities of the South that has overcome prejudice on both sides of the ballpark. A city that is destined by God to be the center of revival in Alabama. It's not going to come solely through your human effort, because the devil thinks he got you in a prison and he's not going to let you free and let you out. But when the angel of God touches this church, when the angel of God touches your situation, when the angel of God touches Birmingham, can I have it? Amen. Paul and Silas are preaching in Macedonia. There's a little demon-possessed girl following them around. These men be the servants of the Most High God. These men be the servants of the Most High God. Just her voice sound demonic. And Paul got weary with the devil advertising his ministry. We don't need the devil for anything. God doesn't need the devil for anything. God's not going to let the devil perfect you. The devil's not out to perfect you. He's out to kill you. He's out to destroy you. Can I have an amen? So he cast the devil out of this girl. And they see the hope of their gain is gone. Be seated. And suddenly they find themselves having been beaten to an inch of their life. And they have thrown in the prison house. I would call that an immobile situation. You can get in immobile situations doing the will of God. Let me say that again. You can get in immobile situations doing the will of God. You don't quit doing the will of God because you face impossible situations. You don't turn to people and blame other people for the situation you're in. As long as you blame other people, you will never recognize that Satan has come against you, and you'll never stand against Satan. As long as you stand against people, it'll never happen. Praise God. Amen. How many times have I seen people fail to get their miracle because they did not recognize where their situation came from? Instead of blaming the enemy and blaming the devil, they wanted to turn on the church. They wanted to turn on the pastor. They wanted to turn on brothers and sisters. And they were praying against the very thing that could deliver them and help them. Praise God. Somebody shout amen. The church is not your enemy. The people of God are not your enemy. The pastor is not your enemy. And God is not your enemy. Let me say it again. The church is on your side. God is on your side. The preacher is on your side. Somebody needs to get this. I said the preacher's on your side. The church is on your side. And for heaven's sake, God is on your side. Now, there's a second situation that you need a higher power. When disease or sickness comes your way, who are you going to believe? The doctor? Your family? Your friends, or you can believe God. As long as you think that the situation of disease and affliction and sickness that you're going through is the will of God, you're never going to get healed. Chastisement is a whipping. Amen. My mother was good at chastising. This is back before SRS or Human Resources and Welfare Department and Child Protection and so on. I'm always born one generation early. My mother had a third grade education, but that didn't mean she was stupid. She didn't need to go to public school. She learned from the school of hard knocks. And, but you could push my little mother. My mother was 4'10". And I was 6'3", as a senior in high school. And I never will forget the day I got taller than my mother. And I started outweighing my mother. And I thought all you need was weight and height, and you can whoop the person that's shorter and smaller. It's not the size of the dog in the fight. It's the size of the fight and the dog. So, when my mother chastised you, she did it swiftly and thoroughly. You understand what I'm saying? Can y'all read between the lines? All right, be seated. And but she didn't beat me for 35 years. When she delivered her soul upon my back with the rod of correction, when she throwed the rod away, it was over. All was left was for me to be healed. You understand that? She cooked supper for me that night. She never mentioned the whooping again. It was over with. That whipping didn't last 30 years, 10 years. Satan, when he puts an affliction on you, he wants to beat you all the time. Hello? And so as long as you think your affliction or your sickness is God putting it on you to teach you a lesson, you're not going to get healed. You're going to continuously suffer. Amen. Jesus didn't say, I have come to afflict you all of your life. I'm come that you might have life. And have life. Folks, the Holy Ghost is just doing a miracle in this room this morning. The Holy Ghost is moving in this. He's moving on your pew right now. As sure as I'm standing here, I'm standing in the will of Almighty God. God sent me here to minister to somebody's spirit and tell you, Jesus said, I'm come that you might have life, not destruction, not disease, not affliction. I'm come that you might have life and have life more abundantly. Brother Johnny Dickey, our custodian of our church, was so excited the other morning, and he made me a fresh pot of coffee. We went down to the kitchen. We sat down. He said, I got to tell you what happened. And here's what happened. Two ladies went to their church away from church. How many know where church away from church is? Walmart. What's wrong with y'all? Amen. I mean, when the Lord calls us home, he's got to come to Walmart to get us. They was in the checkout line at Walmart. And there was a man waiting to get checked out. There was another woman in front of him. And he had a little oxygen tank on the little two wheels that you pull with a tube going up through it and wrapped around your head and stuck to your nose. He had terrible emphysema. Now, emphysema is caused by smoking. And it's easy to look down our long, bony, skinny, self-righteous, pharisaical, hypocritical nose at people and say, oh, you smoke? Yes, I smoke. Why? Because I want to. No, because the devil's in that little cigarette and it addicts you. And when you become addicted, you can't just lay it down. I get irritated at people that say, well, you ought to quit smoking and come to church. Why not tell them to come to church so they can quit smoking? What's wrong with you? Self-righteous, hypocrite, Pharisee? You didn't get saved because of your own power and your own strength. You're not blessed by your own goodness and your own nice looking. You're blessed because God rescued you. You didn't hear what I said. You're blessed because God opened the door for you. Anyway, he got emphysema. I don't want to get sidetracked. I'm trying not to preach to you like that. I'm trying to be nice to Alabama. And so he was struggling and... What happened? You get emphysema. And the two ladies felt sorry for him, and everybody else was gasping with him. And they said, tapped on his shoulder and said, "Sir, can we have prayer for you?" This just happened last week. This didn't happen in Ethiopia or the Philippines. Happened at Walmart, where you would expect miracles to take place in the house of God. Amen. He said, "Pray for me. I can't pray." And it little, not little, apostolic, one God, Jesus' name, Holy Ghost filled, ladies laid their hands on him. Jesus, would you heal this man? We can't stand it. We can't stand here and breathe like that. And would you believe that the man was healed in the Walmart checkout line? You'll be hearing more about this in Pentecost, but he was healed in the checkout line at Walmart. Them women didn't say, "Well, if you hadn't smoked all your life, you wouldn't be in that shape. Why don't you shut your mouth?" Well, when somebody gets healed in a Walmart checkout line, you attract a crowd. You get a blue light special here. Oh, I'm sorry, that's Kmart. And the checkout lady that was checking out the other lady, she got to squalling. Because the guy, everybody could hear him breathe half all over that front of that store. And when they heard them women praying, and when that man quit breathing hard and he relaxed and God touched him and God healed him, it caused quite a commotion. Everybody started gathering up and they started clapping their hands. Sinners started clapping their hands. Employees started clapping their hands. The checkout lady got to clapping her hand and she started weeping. And suddenly she burst out, "Would you pray for me?" They crawled over the counter. Later, she had been afflicted all of her life. Her leg was turned 90 degrees. Can you imagine the stigma of having to go through life as a teenager with your leg turned 90 degrees and having to hobble and be crippled? It's not the will of God that people have to hobble around all their life and face the embarrassment as a child and as a teenager and as a young adult. It affects who you marry. It affects the rest of your life. And she said, "Would you pray for me?" They laid hands on her and prayed for her. And suddenly the bone popped and she turned that foot straight and was healed instantaneously by the miraculous power of the Holy Ghost. You can't heal yourself, but we got a higher authority. And when we understand, Jesus said, "I'm come that you might have some life about you." Praise God. God wants to heal you this morning. I said, God wants to heal you right where you're sitting. Hallelujah. Everybody stand. My God, I feel the power of the Holy Ghost. Be seated for 30. I got to preach 30 more seconds. Be seated 30 more seconds. I told our church the other night, if the devil attacks me before I have a chance to pray, if he attacks my blind side, or if something happens that I end up in the intensive care, and I'm wired up, tubed up, needled up, and doped up. I said, there's going to be a lot of goony birds that's going to come in my room and say, oh, he was such a wonderful pastor. Don't use was on me. I said, don't use was on me. You say he is a wonderful pastor. And don't send sightseers into my room that's full of unbelief and doubt and skepticism and atheism and all that kind of stuff. If you're going to come in my room and pray for me, you come in with one thing on your mind. My God is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that you're able to ask or think according to the power that's in us. You say, well, I'm in this situation because of something I've done in life. My God can forgive you a moment's time, and he'll erase the memory of everything you've ever done. Let me tell you something, you can't pick yourself up. You cannot condemn yourself when our God said, I've come that you might have life and have life more abundantly. We got too many kids that are strung out on drugs, and all we can do is condemn them. There's more that we can do. My God said, I've come that you might have life. God didn't come to kill you. God didn't come to give you an overdose. He came to deliver you. He came to heal you. He came to bless you. Let's all stand. Now, I didn't do this. You done it. You're the one that made me the apostle over the Alabama Revival Conference. You're the one that said, I'm the prophet for this church. I'm here to tell you in the spirit of prophecy that God has come here today to heal you. Jesus said, I've come that you might have life, and life is here right now. Somebody come to get the Holy Ghost. I command you in the name of Jesus to receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost right now. And you can start speaking in tongues just anytime you want to through the power of Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus, if you have a need, I've got a God, and my God's going to be your God, and your God's going to be my God, and we're both going to believe God together right now through the power of the Holy Ghost. In the name of Jesus. Receive a miracle in the name of Jesus. Sister, you're healed by the power of the Holy Spirit.
He is my help, Jehovah, yeah. Yes, he is. Yes, my God.